and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on Yule Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. Merry Day After Christmas, everybody. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, what's up?
Good to talk to you, hon. It's been so long.
Me. Oh, I know. It's weird. Happy Boxing Day.
What is Boxing Day?
Apparently, it's a British holiday where you then bring gifts to friends.
Oh, well, I've heard that term a lot this year, but I had never heard it before.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I mean, I would like it because I haven't gotten any gifts.
Oh, man. So
This is what happens when you're a December birthday. It's just everything's, you know.
Oh yeah,
I got my birthday gifts, and I'm very grateful for them, and I'm very happy. And that's just, you know, and I'm happy to sit on the sidelines here for the holiday season.
Aww.
For the 41st time.
Well, you can find me, Ronnie, over on the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast, and you can find Ben writing and voicing and doing all that good stuff for The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which is a really funny YouTube cartoon, so go check it out. And we are doing some live shows. I'm going to just go through the cities real quick here. So everybody knows, because this is our last show of 20. Well, it's the last 19. One we're recording. It's the last one of 2019. We will be releasing our Berkshires episode that we did live last month or this month, whatever. We're going to release it in a couple of days.
Not the Berkshires, but when we went to Philadelphia, and it was the episode where of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, yes.
Of Taylor Armstrong. I was like, it's an entirely different.
You guys, this is the night after Christmas. Okay, I don't know what you expect from me, but you're not going to get much. Thankfully, I've led you to expect nothing. So that's good.
I just gorged myself on Indian food, and just finished drinking like the last of my store-bought eggnog. So I'm just coasting right into a food coma right now. So this is like...
perfect.
Good luck, everyone. Good luck.
Great.
Well, here we are, guys. We're at the final episode of Orange County Season 14. It's the reunion part 3. It's been a great, great reunion. Hilarious. It continues to be hilarious. It gets very emotional at the end of this hour. But still overall, like, great, great job with the reunion, ladies of Orange County. Great job.
Way to just bring Vicky... crumbling down. I don't know that you can ever really bring her crumbling down, but no. If Vicky's last show, if her last episode ends with her going fuck you to the cameras and slamming the door in their face, I mean, what a perfect ending for Vicky.
Yeah, a spectacular flame out for her, for the original, the OG of the OC. I mean, she found so many hills. It's like she went to Rome. Isn't Rome the city that's like surrounded by seven hills? She just found all the hills and just she died on all of them. She's like, I'm gonna find any hill I can find, I'm gonna die on it. And they're like the most inconsequential hills.
Yeah, and then she could be like, I didn't die on a hill. And then they would show a clip of her dying on a hill. It's like, I did not die on a hill. It's like, dying on a hill, okay? You died on a hill. It's on
the Yeah, she's literally on a hill. She's like, I died in the valley. No, it's on a hill. Liddell. Hill.
So let's get it going. Reunion 3. Normally, we are not just inundated like this with reunion episodes of one Housewives show.
Well, there used to be a time. There was a time, like a few years ago, when it was reunion time, they would have like back-to-back nights of the reunion. They used to do that. Now they stretch them out, and so we've gotten used to that schedule. But having like... 3 reunion episodes in 1 week, and not to mention the fact that I think there was no other reunion happening. It just felt like there was like 5 other reunions. Just it's been intense. It's been intense for us.
Yeah. Very funly intense.
Yeah.
Funly. That's a good word. Take it into 2020.
Yeah, it's a new word.
It was
new
funly.
Word of for
we did it funly.
New word for a new decade.
So we opened with Vicky yelling at Bronwyn still because I don't like kissing. I don't like nakedness. Do it off camera. 15 years I started this show. 15 years I started this show. And she's really just in Frank Oz Muppet territory at this point.
Yeah, she really has. She really has started to like really. Well, you know, that's it's a very charged thing to say that, you know, given Vicky's background and what she's had to go through from Slate Smiley. But the truth is, she really is like embracing that guttural like.
Sound. Blah, 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 blah.
Hey. 50 years. She's like, turn it down, Bronwyn. Turn it down, Bronwyn.
15 years ago, I started this show. Do it off camera. 15 years I started. 15 years I started. Me start. Show me start.
She's like turning into Louis Armstrong. What a wonderful franchise.
Sick. What a terrible naked slut you are.
I see. Degrading women, trashy ladies too. They're all damn brown women, and this is what I think of you.
I don't want to see your boobs anymore, you stupid lesbian. What a stupid ladies kissing down.
Yeah, so, you know, making Vicky's blatant homophobia fun. Jesus. So she's like, yeah, I don't like nakedness. I can't believe you. And Kelly's like, you should say the same thing to Tamara. She's like, I did say it to Tamara. I did it. 15 seconds, Brandon. 15 seconds you've been on this show. 15. I'm like, what is it? 15 years you started this show. 15 seconds you've been on this show. She just likes the number 15, you know? And
she does.
You have to say, she's lasted a lot longer than 15 minutes. Because I was going to say, you know, your 15 minutes are up. But it's been, you know, 15 years, so good for you. Andy Warhol said everybody would have 15 minutes of fame, like every idiot in the world would just have 15 minutes of fame, and you have proven that idiots can have a lot longer time in the sun, so congrats.
Listen, you can cook a shitty meal, you can overcook a shitty meal for 15 minutes in a toaster oven, or you can overcook it for 15 years in a slow cooker, it's still going to turn out badly, and that's what Vicky sort of has turned into, a gloppy meal that's been around too long. But yes. You know what, she the best though is that she still lives in this like world of this wonderful world of delusion, so much delusion that I think that they should keep her around, because it's the sort of delusion that we dream of on these shows. And so when she's yelling at Bronwyn goes, you're not the boss of me. And Vicky's like, oh, you're brand new to this show, okay, we got kids watching it. I'm like, what? She's acting as if this like aired right after Thanksgiving on ABC with like John Stamos and like a projection of Elsa from Frozen. This isn't kids. If kids are watching it, there may be kids watching it, but this is not a children's show. Okay, this is not wholesome family entertainment by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, and they're not enjoying it, you know? It's like they're watching it and they're terrified. This is like nightmare-inducing for kids.
Yeah, like you shoot scenes in an insurance company. Okay, that's like, I guarantee you, kids are not watching.
So Bronwyn's like, I know, my own kids watch. And Tamara said, yeah, and Shannon's asked to share a laugh, Vicky. She's sharing a laugh. And Vicky's like, okay, Bronwyn. She's like, you took your clothes off. You know what? You took your clothes off. Let's just elevate. I lost 2 clients last month because of this. 2 clients last month. And because of everything that Bronwyn did. How about you lost clients because of yourself? Thank God Andy is there with the editors to show.
Mm-hmm.
Also, who fires insurance people because they want a moral insurance company? Like,
it's probably just what they told her because they felt bad about saying, no, you're a shitty insurance dealer. So instead, I'm just going to say, oh, I'm not comfortable with the show. I mean, I'm surprised she's only lost two clients over the years. She makes it sound like she's never lost anyone because of the show. I mean, anyone who's getting, you know, represented by Vicky, getting their insurance from Vicky in the first place, already you have to question their motives and their like judgment just to begin with.
Yeah. And Andy reminds her, he's like, yeah, you flashed your tits on this show. She's like, I did not do it on camera, Andy. And then they show her on camera, mm-hmm, pulling down her top.
And then Andy's like, you demonstrated how to give a blowjob. And she goes, it was a bachelorette party. And then they show her, like, giving fellatio to a popsicle. And then Gina's like, you've gotten so wasted, you've pissed beds. And then we see that clip of her when she peed on a bed. It's like everyone was piling on. It's like, you once kicked over a newsstand. I did not kick over a newsstand. It's like cute unseen footage of, like, Tammy Knickerbocker opening up a newsstand and Vicky knocking it over.
I did not do that. I peed on the bed. I'm sorry, I peed on the bed. I had to catch.
You sold weapons of mass destruction.
I did not sell weapons of mass destruction.
It's like her with Saddam Hussein.
So Andy's like, oh, Vicky, I've got news for you. The show has never changed. Okay? It's always been trash. I don't know where you've been, but this show started as trash and it will die as trash. Do you understand me? And so Bronwyn starts her, listen, I've had babies in my 20s, in my 30s, in my 40s. We know, Bronwyn, we know you have babies for 20 years. We know you've lactated and you had a party and had strippers, which is weird. Like, Vicky's doing all this crazy shit with her voice.
Yeah. And you can't tell, like, is she almost being jokey? Because there's almost, like, a slight curl of a smile on her face. You just kind of can't really tell what's going on. But all I know is that she is fixated on the fact that Bronwyn has gotten naked. And is fixated on the fact that Bronwyn and Sean have, like, basically had three ways with, like, another girl. Even though Tamra has been naked on the show multiple times. I mean, I feel like every year we have to watch her get naked and jump into some sort of hot tub and break her foot. Like, every single season.
Well, and Vicky and Andelays and being so mad at strippers, and we see Vicky getting a lap dance, you know? I'm a mother, a grandmother, and a businesswoman. I want to do everything I can to be respected. And this name-calling, this trash, and dicks, it's like, what happened to the show? What happened to the show?
Yeah. Andy goes, you realize you're giving us, like, every opportunity to pause and do montages, right? It was, like, such a meta moment, but it was so true. He's like, I mean, like, we're just gonna refute everything you say. I mean, we've got the footage, Vicky. We have it.
It's like, I don't care. Show the montage. And so they do. And it is just priceless. I mean, yeah. It is just, they grab her by the ankles again and just drag her right across the floor.
Yeah, it's just like, we see Vicky doing a keg stand. We see Vicky talking about kissing other girls. We see Vicky talking about how she wanted to be like a swinger with a guy, with strippers, doing shots out of her tits, kissing Shan on the lips, just farting. I mean, that's just like the light version.
Yeah, and Tamra says, I miss the fun, Vicky. I miss the fun, Vicky. It's like, I am having fun. Oh, trust me, I'm having so much fun, Tamra. They're like, you don't seem like you're very happy.
No.
Put that out.
And Andy goes, so did getting Gretchen naked wasted meet your moral compass? Just, I didn't do that. He goes, it happened on the show. Okay, time for another montage. And they just show it all over again.
Yep. And he's like, and you think getting naked is a new thing on this show? And she's like, Vicky's like, you know what? Women have to want to emulate us. Like,
no, Vicky, no one's emulating you. No one. And Vicky's like, people want to emulate this trash, like kissing each other? No. You know, there are some people who that is like their life, by the way. Like, it's not unheard of for women to kiss other women. And it's like, not amoral or immoral at all. It's actually like a very loving and wonderful thing. Vicky, Victoria.
Yeah, idiot. Vicky's fucking homophobic idiot. I mean, Brooks. I guess you're on the right show for that, but what a moron. It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial. So Bronwyn's like, well, you say I'm not a role model, but some people do look at me as a role model. And she's like, oh, Jesus. And she does the sign of the cross.
Yeah.
And she's like, I was so courageous to talk about swinging with my husband. Okay. She's bringing other people in, I meant, not swinging.
Yeah. Well, she's like, I love how Bronwyn is giving herself, like, she's like giving herself her own, like, award from like, the Humane Society or something like that, I don't know, but she's just giving herself an award. But like, I think that what I did was brave. I could have just said it was a drunk mistake, but no, I said we are going to have another woman in this relationship every 10 years on big birthdays, and I stand by. And it was a powerful moment for me. Thank you. I'd like to thank myself for giving me this award. Thank you.
Yeah, I was a hero. And Vicky's like, well, I think it's disgusting. It was disgusting there. And Shannon goes, ha! Strong words.
Strong words, yeah.
Very strong.
Very strong words. So Vicky is like, she's like, yeah, being married with seven children and then bringing a woman into the bedroom, that's disgusting. That's disgusting. Choose your lane. I mean, choose your lane. And so then, and Andy's like, he's basically like, everyone's basically being like, you're being ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like, why should she change her lane? And she's like, because it's disgusting. I think being married and choosing women, that's disgusting. It's disgusting. And he's like, that's how she's living her life. She's like, and I have an opinion about it, Andy. Yeah. And so Tamara's like, yeah, none of us are here to be role models, okay? And Andy goes, well, she is, apparently. Andy's just openly mocking Vicky this whole time. And she goes, well, you know what? I didn't interview for this job, by the way, Andy. I did not interview you. And he goes, sweetie, I saw your interview tape. And let's cut to Vicky's interview tape.
She's like, oh, I got a big TV over here. And this is like where we have living room. We hang out here. And then we have like drinks for parties and everything like that. It's a really cozy, comfortable home. Anyway, hope I can be on your show. I'd love to be on it. Thanks. And then Vicky's like, you know, I didn't even know it was a reality show. I didn't know what it was. And he goes, you've been here for 14 years. Don't say you didn't want to be on a reality show. You've been here for 14 years and you're clawing your way into this reunion. You just had a hissy fit backstage because you're not getting enough screen time and you're not being seated in the place on the couch that you want to be seated.
The best part of this to me was that her name was Vicky Wolfsmith, which I forgot.
Yeah.
And it says, Vicky Wolfsmith runs a very successful business. Her husband works at Home Depot.
Yeah, I know. Was that Don? I mean, because...
No, that was her first husband, right?
But I thought that Don... I thought the first husband was already out of the picture at that point.
That's maybe what not. I thought, too. So why is it Vicky Wolfsmith?
I don't know. Maybe that's just what she... was going by at that time before, you know,
I just want to be a regular Smith. Just make me Vicky Smith so people don't know her. But I want to be a tough Smith. Wolf Smith. Just make me a Wolf Smith, all right?
Yeah, yeah. So, so Vicky's basically saying like how, no, she's basically saying she's not thirsty like Bronwyn and everything. She's not doing all the things that this one wants to do. And Shannon's like, can we just move on? Can we move on, please? I'm having negative thoughts, getting memories of David right now. Can you just move on? So Andy's like, all right, Vicky, anything you want to say before you leave? And she goes, yes, I don't do podcasts at all. I will never appear on a podcast. And I have a podcast coming up with Westwood One called Financially Fabulous, How to Waste All Your Money on a Terrible Insurance Agent. Thank you.
Stop buying teeth for people that you don't know well enough. And she goes, it's going to be about what I really believe in, Andy, which is finances. I was like, wow, what a belief system. That really says a lot about you. Beliefs, finances.
So then they break for commercial and Vicky's basically dismissed and she starts walking up the stage and she just starts to lose her mind.
Well, before she even leaves, he's like, you are nuts. She goes, I didn't interview for you, by the way. He's like, you did a tape. She goes, yeah, but I didn't even know it was going to be a show. And he's like, it wasn't a show. That's why. She's like, don't forget where you came from, Andy. Do not forget where you came from. You. And he's like, you don't forget where you come from. She's like, I will never. So then she goes off, and Shannon, who's just been upset that everybody calls her an alcoholic every season, is like, can we get some Casamigos and soda up here?
Yeah.
So and then, like, everyone loses her mind.
And everyone's like hugging Vicky bye, and then Emily like stands up, who just had a hip surgery and is like limping. She's without her walker. She's like, can I get a hug, Vicky? And Vicky just denies her as Emily's like limping slowly off the stage, and Vicky will not hug her.
She just completely ignores her. So Vicky gets to the producer guy, who's got just the look of a terrified prisoner. You know,
yeah.
He's got this smile on his face, but it's really tight and scary. And she's like, why am I going off the show? Why am I going off the show, little producer person? Thankfully, you're not a lesbian, so I'm going to talk to you about this. Why am I going off the show? And he's like, for the last segment. She goes, oh, like a lapdog. A little lapdog.
Yeah, and then by the time she gets backstage, she's fully ranting. She's like, "But they can all go fuck themselves. You know what? They can all fuck themselves. They're cheering at the very end. They do the cheers, and then they get me off. You know what? You know what? I started this before you were there. Okay, before you were there.
I'm no longer a friend of anyone. I'm more than a friend. We need to elevate this. It's called a disaster. I'm embarrassed. And then she's pacing around her dressing room, screaming at a producer and Steve. And she, her dress is half off, so it's like her Spanx. And then she sees that, of course, the camera is standing right there at the half-open door. And she sees the camera, and she's like, really? Fuck off! And then slams the door in the camera's face, and that's the last we see of Vicky.
And that's the last of Victoria. So good. What a moment. What a way to end. Like I almost, like, they can't hire her again because it's such a great way to be like, this is Vicky's final moment.
Yep. This is how they did her. And she deserved every fucking second of it. Now, here's the problem. Got really boring after this.
I know. Oh. I know. I mean, like, Vicky was at the heart of pretty much a lot of the major drama this season. So we'll see. So now, you know, at this point, even the reunion writers are getting bored because they're not even coming up with good puns anymore. They're just going, All the women were opening up about their sex lives to each other, and in some cases, with each other. You gotta check this out. I was like, you gotta check this out. What happened to our, like, really awful pun that was sort of icky, too? Where did that go?
You know, some people say lesbi off. These ladies say lesbi on. So I just love that they do this because you know they're just doing it to piss Vicky off. You know, I just, it's like, let's kick off Vicky and then let's, you know, have fun with everything that she hated.
Why did they not have Vicky out for this segment? This is like the perfect thing to have her out there and be get so annoyed about.
I think they. It seems like they kept her there and on stage most of the day, and then they just wanted to see her lose her shit, so they kicked her off early.
Yeah, probably. So, so Andy's like, so Bronwyn, what is it about Tamra that you find so attractive? And she's like, I don't know, she sort of looks like me, and you just know Tamra was like, because I'm hot. I'm the hot housewife of Orange County, batch.
Yeah. How did you decide to give your husband threesomes for his birthday? It's like easier than shopping, Andy. Okay? It's easier than shopping.
Yeah.
You can't just find a big giant statement necklace everywhere, Andy, okay?
I know. Listen, that guy in Kauai only makes like one necklace a year, okay? You can't rush these things. You gotta find other options during the rest of the time. So then Andy's asking about like were you worried about the kids when this came out on TV? And she's like, no, actually, I went and I sat down with my older kids and I told them about it, and one of my kids said I like the same sex too. So I really have to credit my illicit wanton ways, according to Vicky, for allowing my child to come out of the closet.
Hero, Andy. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm a hero.
Here, I've written it on my chalkboard, hero. And there's a little arrow. If you'll notice, it's actually pointing directly to me. And next to it, I've drawn my concept for what the award I would give myself would look like.
So Kelly's like, oh, the kid who came out was RC, right? She's like, actually, I'm not going to say the kid's name because that's their story to tell. Oh, all right, well, whatever.
But it was the daughter with the curly hair, right? I'm not going to say which one because I'm just going to... It wasn't the boy, right? Because I remember you specifically pointed at the girl and said, she's a big lesbo now. Kelly, that's not... No, Kelly. We're just going to let her tell her own story.
So then we get Tamra, not to be upstaged. Tamra has done it bigger and better than Bronwyn. Tamra, let's see some unseen footage of you trying to one-upstage Bronwyn with the bringing people into your marriage storyline.
Yeah.
So unseen footage. Here we go. Tamra has also had threesomes. I am shocked.
I know.
Completely shocked.
I should also mention, speaking of one-upping, that when Bronwyn was talking about how she sat down her kids to tell them, Tamra on the side goes, I told Sophia about our kids. I told Sophia. Yeah. It's like, okay, Tamra, settle down. This isn't about you.
Tamra cannot take this. She's going crazy. Yeah. Like, everything that Vicky is doing externally, Tamra is doing internally.
She's 100%.
Freaking out. So she's like, oh, yeah, but it wasn't just bringing someone in. It was like three people. And Emily is questioning her. This is when they were in Miraval, and Emily's questioning her. So, it was three people. Did you plan it? Were they strippers? Where'd you meet them? Blah blah blah. And so we find out the story, which is that she was at a party, and it was a huge house. There were huge grounds, and they were all in the backyard. And Eddie and Tamra, you know, they were just having sex on the fake grass, like any couple does. You know, you go to hide at a party and fuck in somebody's backyard. And then before they knew it...
On the grass.
Yeah, on the fake grass, which is usually like for dog piss, which cracks me up. So she's having sex with Eddie on the lawn, and some friends who just happened to be in the pool, like next thing we know, they're all laying next to us. Oh, wow.
Wow. Well, Bronwyn's like, I just want to point out that I did not say things like, next thing you know, there were a bunch of people around us. I took full responsibility for my threesome. And I'd like to thank the Academy for giving me this award for bravery and threesomes. Thank you. Thank you.
This Tamara is just such a garbage human. Like, I don't, when people come over to my house, I don't even like taking their plates for them. You know what I mean? Like, if I had to wipe up your body fluids after you left, of course Tamara is that guest. Of course she is.
I also like that when we came out of the video, the unseen footage of Tamara telling Emily all about her threesome, that when it came out, when we came out of that, Shannon goes, well, that's a little more than what I heard. Huh, that's called a gangbang. Which is her way of saying, I can't believe you tell Emily, of all people, about your threesome, your gangbang, which is not to be confused with a gangster, which is what Kelly Dodd is, but you wouldn't tell me. Great, real friendship. Huh, real friendship.
She was so mad. And Tamara's like, well, you know, what are you going to do? And Andy said, don't worry about it. You're a consenting adult. She's like, but everyone saw Eddie's wiener, and that was weird.
I know, I felt sorry for those people too. So then Kelly, now it's time to talk about Kelly. Kelly is the last man in her life, and she's got a round trip ticket to Mentown, but on peak hours or off peak, it's like Kelly Metro North, and she's finally laying down the tracks with New Happily Ever After, and let's retire Trainee Dims forever. You choose to do that. Whoops, did it again.
She's rolling her eyes. Like, now she's just been laughing and cracking up, and she's like, I'm mad now. Like, she's like, yeah, now is my segment where I'm gonna get mad again. I'm very mad.
Yeah.
So then during her segment, Shannon whispers, she kind of mutters over to her. She's like, oh, well, you were going to get married. And Kelly goes, I was not. Yes, you were. You said you were going to be married in 6 months on camera. You said it. Ha! Well, I may not know about gangbangs, but I do know a relationship fail when I see one. Have fun!
I may have suffered a mild concussion on account of your violent ways because you are a gangster, but one thing that I don't suffer from is amnesia. I remember that moment. Ha! Busted. There's case law to support that what I say is true.
So Kelly, we find out about her family, and she's like, well, you know, me and my mom are okay. She comes every other week. My brother was the one who put all those rumors out, you know, like the lies about everything, like saying that I threw my mother down the stairs. Oh. And Andy's like, oh, so that did come from your brother. She's like, yeah, it was hard. And then my mom took my brother's side because I kicked him out, but then she said she'll vouch for me. So he's like, oh, so you started talking to your mom again because your brother made up lies about you pushing her down the stairs. She's like, yeah. She's like, wow, that's actually kind of sweet.
Yeah. Who would have thought that rumor would have brought you guys together? I'm sorry, Andy. If this is an attempt to take away my award for bravery and give it to Kelly's brother for starting that rumor, I will not stand for that. I will not. And I've taught my children not to stand for that. And that is what I have brought to my family. Oh, did I just receive another award for myself? Wow. Thank you. Thank you, me.
Thank you. Dr. Brian was flirting with the idea of moving in with Kelly, right? She goes, well, he wanted to. He did. He was the one who wanted it.
He moved downstairs.
It's like you amend Housewives history, just like a 10-year housewife. Congratulations. Yeah. So did you break up with him on social? She goes, no, did he break up with you on social? She's like, no, I broke up with him.
Yeah. Yeah, because basically she said that she went away with Ramona Singer, okay? And that's when she met Rick, and then that was, like, in July, and I guess she just, like, felt it with Rick, and so she dumped Brian.
Yeah. She basically went on Instagram stories or something. I'm not really sure. And then Brian wrote a thing on his Instagram, like, well, it was nice knowing you, Kelly, but I wish you the best.
They actually had, like, a remarkably clean, like, social media breakup. Like, they didn't talk shit about each other. She said, like, oh, he's wonderful. Moving on. And I was like, whoa, this was nice. So then Tamara's like, so Rick Leventhal's, so he lives in New York. How's that gonna work, huh? Good luck with that storybook ending. And she's like, well, maybe I'll move to New York. You can't move to New York. What about Jolie? What about Jolie? You can't take her out of the state. Michael won't let you. And then Tamara and Shannon are just basically smiling at this, like, dilemma that Kelly will have to face.
Yeah, and Kelly's like, well, we're gonna work it out. And Shannon goes, you can't.
There's the case law. Can't. Yeah.
And Andy just says, okay, well, I'm happy for you. And then Tamara gives a look to the camera like, oh, can you believe this shot?
Yeah, at some point, I think Andy asks, has anyone here met Rick Leventhal? And like, I think only like one person had like FaceTimed with him. And he goes, wow, I guess that means that I'm the only one who's met him. And he like shakes. He does like a windshield wiper with his head. I'm like, okay, Andy, settle down. Settle down with your Rick Leventhal proximity bragging.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So, next segment. Hey, guys, it's been awkward without someone to hate out here. Okay, Vicky, not talking about you, even though I am, and it's on camera. I would like to welcome Shane. You know, while Shane was studying for the bar, he was also lowering the bar for unsupportive husbands. All right, let's bring Shane out.
Let's bring him out, and let's try to save him from the train. Oh, can't help myself, Kelly. Had to throw in another idiom. Didn't even make sense. It was not even very interesting. I just said train, but I can't help myself.
Let's throw mama from the shame. Sorry, that didn't even make sense, but it rhymed with train.
Come on, ride the Shane. Go ride it. Oh, sorry. Just got in my head there, Kelly. I promise that'll be my last one.
So Emily has just told everybody, my biggest issue with Shane is like compassion, because I don't get that. And, you know, I want to divorce him, but I want to put my kids first. And so the best thing for my kids is for me to try and work it out and to completely malign their father on national TV and really show what an asshole he is. You know, it's been great for our family, basically, Andy, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently Gina on Watch What Happens Live basically was insinuating, not so surprisingly, that the dysfunction in Emily and Shane's relationship is more of a two-sided street or two-way street, a two-way street than, you know, would appear. And so Emily was sort of, you know, hurt by that. And Gina goes, you know, it's like that time when you like accidentally texted your mother-in-law some things that weren't meant for her, and then she read them and then wasn't speaking to you anymore. And Emily's like, oh yeah, because I told you that in confidence, right? Oops. What? Did I do that?
Yeah, what? Sorry. Which is hilarious. She's like, fuck you, Shane, god damn it. You know, she's telling off Shane in a text.
Crazy
accidentally
parents.
Sends it to her mother. So Andy's like, well, this year, you know, you embraced your curves. It's just like, yeah, and actually I gained 25 pounds, you know.
It's very important as women that we're proud of how we look. And then they cut to Shannon and looking just so uncomfortable. Like, oh, well, yeah. I suppose that I'm going to be shamed for looking thin now. So thanks a lot.
Oh, you win some and you lose some. Or I guess in the case of Emily, you win some and you don't lose some. I'm shaming now. Okay, sorry.
I liked also, by the way, that in this segment about like embracing your curves and everything, when Emily said, I gained 25 pounds, Andy goes, wow. It's like, okay, it's not like she added 100 pounds, 25 pounds. Yes, she added some, but that's like not out of the realm of like crazy weight gain.
Oh, geez. So he's asking her, he's like, well, you know, right after you did that self-empowering thing in Vegas, you got on the scale at Tamara's gym and you were diagnosed as obese. Like, yeah. Okay, yes, but a diagnosis is like, come on now. Obese.
Well, I just heard from a mirror in your bedroom, and I just got this report from a mirror in your bedroom, and the mirror says, congratulations, you are officially hideous. What do you say to your mirror? It's like, Andy.
Jeez. That's so sensitive, this show. So sensitive. So she's like, well, I knew I'd gained weight because, like, my jeans, you know, your jeans don't fit and stuff like that. And, you know, Tamara, I just want to say publicly, you did not pressure me to get on the scale. I did it on my own.
But when I saw that number, you know, I was embarrassed because Tamara's in such good shape.
Okay, listen to your own advice. Like, stop. Stop with this. Yeah. Like, you can't say, like, I'm going to empower women. I mean, you can say it. I get the conflict, you know? Like, I understand the weight problem stuff. But, like, in one sentence, in the same segment, she's like, I think we should empower women to be proud. And then she's like, oh, I'm fat, I gained weight. You know? Like, come on, listen to your own advice. Be proud. You're gorgeous.
We all know the best way to empower women is to remind them that if they bring in another woman into the bedroom, that's something that you should be, that's like, that's something you do.
And heroic.
Yeah, it's heroic.
So Tamara's like, but what did I say? Remember when I was there, I said that supportive thing. I said,
don't cry now. At least you're doing something about it.
And I said, hey, stop crying. Hold on, wait for me to take a selfie, and then you can cry in the background of that. It'll be hilarious. Yep. Okay, now cry.
Remember when I said, cry outside? Because at least, like, you'll be getting some sunshine. Get out of my gym, stupid!
So Shanna's like,
well, Emily, if this helps you, I was bigger than you before I miraculously lost all of my weight and look amazing now.
Are you guys supposed to be helping? And Gina's like,
I mean, come on, I'm a little chubby right now. Who cares?
That was actually my way to remind the producers that I am actually the original gained a lot of weight and then lost it storyline. So let's not like idolize her too much because I went on a much more difficult journey. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, it is really like the new class coming in and taking the old class's jobs. I mean, is that Shanna's last storyline? Bronwyn's storyline is totally a Tamra storyline and her whole like being naked all the time, blah, blah, blah. And you can see their reactions the whole episode. I mean, Tamra and Shannon are so pissed every time anybody else talks. So
Andy's like sipping from that invisible straw like crazy.
Yeah. So Andy's like, well, after talking about him all season long, it's only fair to give Shane a chance to air his side of the very short person story. Shane, come on.
Shane, come on out here and sit next to your wife who just had hip surgery, so I'm sure you'll be mindful of that. Oh, and you just sat on her newly replaced hip. Emily, how do you feel?
I'm okay.
And Andy just gives a look to the camera like, Jesus Christ, this guy. You know? And as he comes out, Kelly's clapping. She's like giving him applause and nobody else does. Actually, that was Morse code for twerp.
Well, she thinks she's at Maury Povich or something. It's the father. So Andy's like, well, in the pantheon of house husbands, you're pretty high up there in terms of husbands that people dislike. How does that make you feel?
It's like, well,
at least I've accomplished something.
Well, I guess that's actually true. Can't take that away from him.
Yeah, he's really doing his best to come off as the good guy here, you know? Mm-hmm. He comes out and he's like, you know, I'm just here to support Emily. Of course I support Emily. And Andy's like, but, you know, to someone, what would you say to people who would say, for example, you're a total dick? She's like, well, I can be, but, you know, I would say to them, we film hours and hours for months at a time, and there's more to it, you know, and then there's like snippets where I joke, like, of course, the bread, you know, she was laughing when I was trying to make her eat bread while she was on a diet. She thought that was hilarious, Andy.
Yeah, she was laughing so hard she had tears coming down her cheeks. I mean, just like tons of tears. And, it's funny, when she laughs, she actually frowns a lot. She basically was like frowning and tears, and her chest was heaving. She was laughing so hard.
What's so funny is she was laughing so hard, you know, they didn't get this on camera, but like pieces of bread were actually hitting me in the face as they flew out of her mouth. That's how hard she was laughing at.
People don't realize this. This is like hours and hours and hours. And then, you know, you get one snippet where you're being a dick, and that's what they put up there. And what you don't see are all the hours where you're being so much more of a dick. It's actually unfair that people don't really realize the depths of me being a dick.
But, you know, come on. I mean, maybe it was just the taunting after she got on the scale and was diagnosed to be obese. And he's like, well, I don't see her as obese, Andy. You know, I tell her, love yourself. And she's beautiful. I've never commented on her weight.
Yeah.
Which, good answer. I mean, he's doing well.
He didn't fall into any traps there. He was like, I've always thought Emily was beautiful, even when she was nagging me and trying to make me look dumb on camera, not doing things like leaving me alone while I studied for the bar. So that's, we should probably mention that I failed because of her, right? Can we mention that? But she is beautiful. She is beautiful. A beautiful distraction.
And Andy asked Bronwyn, what would you do if Sean spoke to you the way Shane speaks to Emily? And she's like, well, Andy, I would grab the blonde girl that I brought over for his birthday, turn her to him, and say, yell at her, okay? I'm not here for this.
And then I would go and tell my children what I did. And I said, The way that that man was talking to me was unacceptable, and I brought a basket of bread for all of us to eat because all of us deserve it. And it's about time that we got back to having bread as a family. Thank you again, and good night, everyone. Good night. I thank you for this award.
So what do you think about that burlesque thing that Emily did? You know, she was dancing for you. And he's like, well, when I first heard about it, I was flattered. But then I found it's going to be part of the filming and the cameras are going to be there. So it took on a different... What the fuck did you think it was going to be? It was at the Jackie Siegel Casino. And it was a show on... You think that anybody without a TV show can just be like, hey, I'm going to guest star in your burlesque show.
Yeah. Do you think anyone would even want to do that? I mean, like, it is the most producer-driven thing that anyone could even imagine. Did you really think Emily just up and decided one day that she was going to turn to Anne Ranking, okay, from an off-strip casino? No.
And he goes, I just, you know, I needed to step back, Andy. I wasn't comfortable in that ambiance. What the fuck are you even saying right now?
I know. So what do you love about Emily? I mean, what isn't there to love? She's smart. She's beautiful. She helps me with my two older children, which is cool. She calls me up when I'm in the middle of studying, which is great. It's a great way to get my mind off of all that important stuff I need to know to pass the bar. Love that. Love that about her. Wow. She's great.
So Shannon's, he's talking about how Shannon, or not Shannon, I'm sorry, how Emily helped in the marriage when they first got together. He has two older kids, and she really helped him learn to be a father and a husband. And he's trying to give, like, a serious, like, say how much she's helped him. Like, he's giving a good answer, right?
He's being nice. I actually think he did very well during his segment.
Yeah, he did a good job. He's had very good coaching. had, like, scandal coaching, you know?
And he really has.
Shannon's like, oh, well, I just want to say, Shane, I only met you one time, and I'm shocked, right? I am just shocked, because I wish that Emily had told us some of these things, these wonderful things, instead of all those negative things that she says about terrible, just, terrible things.
Just finding a way to pile on. And, of course, Tamara just smells blood in the water, and she goes, yeah, you shared a lot of things in your interviews that were not so nice about your marriage. You didn't even talk about the good stuff in your interviews. I'm like, okay, Tamara acting as if she doesn't know how a TV show is put together. Come on. Just trying to, like, draw a wedge between Emily and Shane.
Yeah, and they're so heavy-handed, and they're so, like, blame the woman, too, you know, which mm-hmm. is so them. It's so those two. Yeah. So Emily's like, well, you know, it was bad, so I was talking about the bad stuff. And Andy's like, so basically you guys are saying that she's just playing the victim on TV. And they just, like, look at him like, yeah, pretty much. And mm-hmm. Gina's like, well, yeah, I do think that you're one-sided, and I'm in your corner, but I do think it's hard for you, you know, because, like, you present yourselves as you are. If you're not presenting it as you are, it's like... Look who's talking, Gina.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, I know you've gone through a rough time, but you lied your entire first season. Like, shut up, Gina. Quiet.
Right. Or maybe not so much being lied, but was just, like, was not honest with the reality of her situation with either herself or her castmates, which is probably more realistic. No, well, that's different than, I feel like lying is a little bit more of a malicious thing. I think it's possible to not be honest about a situation because you're not ready to come to terms with it, which is maybe more realistic to what's going on with Emily. I mean, who knows? So what are the things... Kelly apparently went to Cabo with Shane and Emily with, like, I'm assuming, Brian. She saw another side. Did you see another side of Emily in Cabo? And she's like, yeah! There's a side to her. She'll lash out. She'll be, like, very upset. She can't compartmentalize. Like, you say, you're such a dork, and she doesn't know how to respond to that. It's weird.
And Emily's like, yeah, she said I was a bitch. She goes, yeah, I said you're a bitch and you're mean. You're being mean to Shane. And he goes, so are you guys happy now in your marriage? And she's like, yeah, I mean, we made a list of stuff, and, like, we both wrote down a list, and then we made a mission statement.
Yeah, and remember that scene in Jerry Maguire in the very beginning when Jerry Maguire, like, is like, oh my god, and then runs to Kinko's late at night and is like, here's my mission statement. That's sort of like what I did with Shane, except I wrote it on loose leaf paper and just sort of taped it to the back of the refrigerator.
And Andy's like, what's your
mission statement? That refrigerator joke was not supposed to be, by the way, that refrigerator joke was not an obesity joke, by the way. I just realized as I said it.
It was not a wet joke. Way.
I was not making a fat shaming joke about when I said the refrigerator. I just like said refrigerator because it was like a thing that I imagine people tape things to. Okay, I just want to clarify it right away. It's not fat shaming.
And he's like, okay, great, Shane. Thanks a lot for being such a bag of dicks. Okay, get out. Yeah. I guess you don't have horns coming out of your head. He's like, well, I don't have angel wings either. And he's like, well, that we've established. And then Shane just looks furious. He's like, bye.
He stomps his foot in the ground so hard he just like wedges himself into the floor of the reunion. Rumpelstiltskin reference.
What do you think about this stuff with Shane? Them accusing Gina of just making Shane look bad on camera.
Emily, you mean?
Yes, and then her trying to look all innocent.
I mean, I think I think that in any situation there's always going to be a lot of ambiguity, right? It's like it's my truth, his truth, and then the truth, right? But, I mean, yeah, there's probably some instigation that Emily contributes to. But as far as I can tell, like, I understand how reality TV works. I know that there's editing. I know that, like, there's probably, like, great sides of Shane, you know, that are super awesome. But the truth is, what we saw is what we saw, and, like... Like, everyone is allowed to be grouchy. Everyone's allowed to have dick moments. But, like, if those are your dick moments, dude, you gotta, like, work on your dick moments.
Yeah, he's terrible. Like, he's fucking terrible.
Yeah, sorry.
Like, I mean, they can edit you all they want, but you're still a fucking asshole who talks to your wife like that. My God.
Yeah, so I feel like I can't talk about what Emily could possibly be like or even what he could possibly be like. I take it back. We're podcasters. Of course, we can talk about that stuff. But the truth is, we see what he is like on camera, and he just seems like a dick.
I thought it was funny at one point where he's like, oh, no one sees this side of Emily. I was like, really? Last year, she was like crawling over people trying to murder Kelly, you know? Like,
yeah.
Threatening to kill somebody. Yeah, we have seen it. And you're still an asshole, Shane.
Yeah, not only have we seen it, we actually like it. So that's going to be a problem for you.
Yeah. So then we get to the most depressing part, which is the Gina segment, which what a way to end a reunion, guys. Thanks a lot.
I know. What a way to end a year. It was actually pretty riveting. She was talking about it and like, you know, she's right now. Gina has a new boyfriend named Travis that she met through Shay, her hair and makeup chick. Yet what? Word up to Shay. Andy starts asking about what happened the famous night, June 22nd, which is like about a month after filming wrapped. And that's when Matt was arrested for domestic violence. And then you hear like Andy clearly had to like insert in the Bravo, I should say, had to insert in Andy saying in post-production, Matt denies all these allegations. And
here's a statement from his lawyer. The events that happened were unfortunate. I was like, okay, Lemony Snicket. Way to just gloss that one over.
Yeah, exactly. So the long and the short of it, according to Gina, was that they had some sort of argument in the morning, which apparently was really bad. And then they had plans to go out that night. So he apologized that way they could like go out. And then they went out and he was awesome and everything was great. But then they were also drinking. And when they were Ubering home, he got angry and was kicked out of the Uber. To me, already at that point, I'm like, what did you do that caused you to get kicked out of an Uber because you were so angry?
Yeah, this guy sounds like a real fucking prince.
Yeah.
So she goes home in the Uber, and he called her and said, I can't order an Uber because you have my Uber, because I ordered that from my phone. So then she goes to bed thinking, okay, well, I'm home now, so he can get an Uber. But then his phone died. Then he was so mad because he had to walk home. By the time he got home, he was infuriated, and he got up to the second, level and was in a rage. And then she ran out of there and was, like, knocking on neighbors' doors, and he dragged her back into the house. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, wow. I mean, it's really, really bad. And I kind of felt bad for Gina because she was saying, well, he's walking because I felt bad for, obviously, for many reasons. It's a given. But I felt bad that she had to, that she was up there on this reunion saying, then he's walking and he's like, it's going over in his head over and over and over again. He's like working his way up. I felt bad that she felt that she had to like rationalize why he got angry enough to do everything that he did. Like, he's a dick. That's why he did it. You don't have to say, oh, well, because she was walking. It almost means like, it almost sounds like she's taking a little bit of that responsibility off his shoulders. So when she said that, I was like, no, Gina, no. Like, you don't have to say he was getting angrier and angrier. It's, you can say he is a dick with real issues. But I mean, you know, so basically Matt is facing a potentially 7 years in jail, and Tamara goes, wow. And in the middle of this very serious moment, Kelly just looks at Tamara and goes, hug her, Tamara, hug her.
Yeah, because Tamara was like, so he's going to go to jail, right? Like, he could go to prison. And Emily's like, I mean, Gina's like, yeah, he could face 7 years. And Tamara's like, wow. Yeah. Just hug Tamara's her, like, Tamara, jeez.
Yeah, Tamara's pretending to show empathy, but not actually doing it. That's why Kelly's like, just hug her, damn it.
Yeah, it's like, Tamara hug her down the stairs. Jeez.
And Tamara goes, but there's a pillar that's in front of us. I can't. And then she, like, puts, like, her arms over, as if, like, they're like, separated by, like a gulf. It's like, Tamara, you can hug someone with a pillow that's in between you guys. It's, like, the most, of all the items that could get caught in between two people in a hug, a pillow is the best thing.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about all of this is that she is out of that.
Thank God.
And she's with, you know, someone new who's treating her well, and, geez, good for you, girl, because
I'm really happy that she's moved on, and that's a terrible thing to go through. I'm happy she did not get caught in any sort of cycle. It was really hard watching the season sometimes, because we had seen that this happened in the news, and a lot of times when we'd be recapping episodes, we would allude to it because it would make us uncomfortable to hear Gina saying things like, we're going to try to really work it out. We decided, yeah, Matt's totally changed. And like, on the one hand, we would laugh because it was so naive of her. Of course, he hasn't changed. But on the other hand, it was also like, we knew what this was leading to. And that was like, oh, Gina.
Yeah.
But you know what? Hopefully it's in the rearview mirror.
Yeah. So they do a new kind of ending, which Andy, you know, struggles with explaining. He's like, well, we've got bowls, so we're going to have a flower, and then you're going to put a flower in the bowl, and then you're going to talk about another flower, because you aren't going to have two flowers. So then you get two flowers, and then you have a bowl, and then you hit the bowl. I was like, what?
This was an awkwardly executed segment, hopefully one that will be retired soon. So
I don't need to hear bowls dong, okay? It's almost like evidence for Shannon's mounting a case against Kelly. I'm like, that is fucking annoying. My brain is bleeding.
So the women have to let go of one thing and invite something into their life and throw rose petals in for each one. So Kelly starts it off with letting go of negativity. And she's like, and bringing in, well, I already got Target and Walmart. And they just show Shannon scowling. Oh, she's making a joke of this, too. Well, I guess yeah, I'm fine. I won't even comment on it.
Sputtering Matt over there. Hilarious. Yeah. Oh, and I want to bring in Rick Leventhal. And she bungs the thing and laughs. And Shannon's like, well, that was a light mallet. So imagine what the heavy one felt like.
I mean, you saw right there that bowl just got a concussion itself. So, you know, just imagine my head. That's all.
Emily, I just want to let go of hurt and anything that I felt. Well, I mean, who are we kidding? Gina, I want to let go of things. I hated that bitch, but I like her again. And I hope for a new beginning with me and Gina.
And of course, Emily is the person to hit the bowl while sitting on her lap. So it just goes like this.
Blink.
Yeah, it's like of course, Emily has like a dull thud of a reverberation.
Yeah. So Bronwyn takes it and she's like, I'm letting go of caring what everybody thinks, and I'm bringing in badass Bronwyn. Hero. Dong, hero.
You just
dong.
Come out. Dr. Deb is watching that at home like, oh, I'd like to see that. Badass Bronwyn. Really would like to see that.
Ego.
How about thanking her mother for all the opportunities that she provided for her, Bronwyn? How about that type of Bronwyn?
And then Gina's like, I love you, Emily. I've actually had a heavy year, and I let go of stuff already. So I'm gonna let go of risky beauty choices. I was like, when is that gonna start?
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Tomorrow. That's,
yeah. I think we need to invite her in to a calendar. That's when you need to invite in the calendar.
Yeah. And Tamara's like, I'm letting off lips, lips. It's like, oh, God, again? Like, how many times are we going to have to see the vagina tightening story? Come on. It's like literally already been done this season.
And then because it's like the very end of the reunion, Tamara is like, wait a second, there's one last chance for me to be dramatic. And she goes, and I'm bringing in health and wellness for my family. And she starts choking up. I'm like, it is truly the most generic wish for a family. I'm not saying it's a bad one, but like you're going to choke up by saying, I wish you health and wellness.
Come on. Well, she's saying for depressed Ryan, who's, you know, the guy who, you know, wants to kill trans people. Let's feel Ryan. For your son again, Tamara, the fucking monster. You're a fucking jackass. Thanks for cementing that.
Ronnie, he never had a shot in life.
Oh, God, poor guy. It's like he didn't get to keep all that money he was raised with.
He's just a straight white male who spent a good chunk of his life in a McMansion with his mom. That's all.
Really rough. Yeah. So Shanna's like, well, I'm going to let go of my past. It's going to be hard to let go of that Target Walmart comment, but I'm going to try. And I'm going to bring in continued happiness and growth for my family and my new person and his family who live in the same state as me. I'm like, Kelly, die! Bong!
One thing I won't be letting go of will be Sophie's college tuition, because it's already been taken by Jim Bellino. 4 years taken away.
So Annie's like, wow, you know, coming here today, I thought we weren't going to accomplish anything. And safe to say, we've accomplished nothing because it's a Housewives reunion. What do you expect us to do over here, okay? We're not building a city, idiots.
Yeah, and he goes, well, we thought we would toast with wheatgrass. And then you see Shannon, basically Shannon's face like, Oh, God, it's all happening. Do I want wheatgrass?
No.
He's like, but we decided to go tequila instead.
Oh, Andy Cohen. Wow. Really got my leg that time. Fun Shannon is ready to go.
And then Bronwyn does the new girl thing when the new girls always steal the toast. I love that.
Always.
She's like, I'll toast to sisterhood. And Tamara's like, to season 14, may we never relive it.
Except we want you to, because it was a really good season. So, that's the end of Orange County. And Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with Kay Rob.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.